This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Have you ever wondered what it takes to plan the perfect trip on a tight budget? Or better yet, what happens when middle schoolers do it for you? In this episode, we're diving into one of the most creative and hilarious ways travel and education collide. Meet Jay Yoder, the teacher who's gone viral for his ultimate travel hack for teachers. But this isn't just about travel. It's about life skills, creativity, and opening young minds to the world. Jay's story is equal parts inspiring, educational, and downright entertaining as you hear how he has revolutionized the future journeys of the kids he teaches. Stick around as we unpack the details of his viral project, some incredible destinations his students picked, and the life lessons learned along the way. You don't want to miss this one.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch, and today, this one's going to be different. This one's going to be unique. It's going to be special in a lot of different ways. We have a truly unique guest joining us today. This is someone who's found the way to blend travel, education, and a bit of humor into an unforgettable classroom experience. And it's also the person behind the viral post we made a couple months ago. And if you're not familiar, check out our Instagram page. It's pinned there. This post, when I say viral, I mean absolutely viral. As of this recording, it's sitting at over 5.5 million views, 350,000 likes. People have been sending it to each other 250,000 times, and it's got almost 2,000 comments on it alone. If you're unfamiliar with what it is, I'm telling you, you have to go check it out because this guy is a genius, and he's pulled off what I think is the ultimate teacher hack for travel. So Jay Yoder, the teacher by day and comedian by night, and he's taken a creative approach to teaching his students real world skills. How does he do it? He gives them a budget, a set travel date, and has them plan out this whole trip. And here's the catch. He actually takes the trip himself that his students planned out. And I absolutely love it. So Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Could you say genius again? I just want to make sure my wife gets that part.
Capture the genius part. The genius part. Welcome to the show.
What an honor. Thank you so much for having. I mean, like, to get to talk about the coolest things. I get to talk about travel. I get to talk about education and comedy. Like, sign me up. I'm happy to be a part. I love what you do. I love the whole concept of the podcast. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Jay. I appreciate taking the time out to be here. And I will say it was a stone's throw because I was like, you know, let me reach out to this guy and just see, would he be willing to explain in more detail? Because the comments blew up so much. It went so viral. People were like, we got to hear more. We got to hear about these trips. What is this guy doing? And so I'm excited to share this today. So Jay, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how traveling came into your approach to teaching?
Yeah, it's so funny. I moved around quite a bit, but I pretty much grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania outside of Scranton, which is sort of this like old coal mining town. And a lot of my friends and a lot of the people around me, we didn't leave the county, never mind the country. So like this concept of travel, I mean, maybe if you were lucky, your family took that Mecca trip to Disney World, But aside from that, it wasn't something, everybody was kind of salt of the earth working to pay their bills. So I had sort of a unique upbringing where, you know, my parents had me, met in college, and then they were kind of like, oh, I think we're both gay. And so I'm like the lone souvenir the night they played hetero. And so like most divorced families, you kind of gravitate to one or the other. So I grabbed it. My mom was in the picture and she had met a woman at work and that became my other mother. So I grew up with two moms in an area and a time. This Ellen was still straight, just so we can understand the time. Like Bert and Ernie, just roommates. Okay, so
got it.
There was this time, but what for me was cool is the woman my mom was in a relationship with, my other mother, Colleen, was from Australia. And like, so, and she had a funny accent. So like trying to like convince people that it was just an aunt or a friend, that was a whole other can of worms. But I had so much culture brought into my own home because Colleen, she was delivering Aborigine babies in the outback as a nurse at like 18. She would go back every year and bring me back stuff from the trip. So like, you know, I remember taking her to the small little airport in Scranton so she would go to Sydney. She actually grew up in Alice Springs and just getting to hear the stories of what life was like for her, you know. And so she brought a lot of the world to me as a young kid that I didn't even know existed. So I was very blessed to have her in my life giving me all this culture. And then I actually, funny enough, took a youth trip with my church when I was in eighth grade. They let me go by myself with the youth group. And we went to visit the Pope and did all these churches. And that was the first time I ever left the country, had gone to Italy, France. We ended up in France at the end of it in Paris. And I just got to see the world and experience this 2-week trip that kind of sparked something in me. And then I think ever since then, it was like, oh, wow, there's a world out there that nobody knows from. All my buddies back home have never seen this. They've seen photos in a book, but I'm standing in front of the Mona Lisa. I kid you not, I took an entire roll of film, and it was a roll of film because it was 1997, of the Mona Lisa through the black thing. None of it got developed. My mom must have spent so much money, and it was just 24 films of me taking a picture of the Mona Lisa because like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in front of it. I got to capture this moment. And I just remember that. I'll never forget that trip. And that for me was just the start of it. I studied abroad in Argentina in high school. I studied in Madrid, Spain in college. I got the bug after that. And then I'm like, I got to keep traveling. Then I become a teacher. And then I'm like, oh, how can I pay this forward? Somebody invited me to be a chaperone on a 2-week trip after school. And then since then, every 2 years, me and my wife have been running these trips to Greece, Italy, Costa Rica, Spain, just taking groups of kids. I once took 36 kids to Greece. Nobody should ever do that if they're not your kids.
Oh my gosh. That sounds wild.
I just got into this and then it was like, boom, I got to travel. I got to see the world and I got to help others do the same because, you know, that was so powerful. I had to pay it forward, you know?
Got it. That's incredible. So teaching sounds like came first. I'm curious, where did the comedy kick in? Because comedy, obviously, this stage is a pretty big part of who you are. We're going to plug all the things later on, but you're part of the Teachers Off Duty podcast, right? There's a lot of moving pieces with you, comedy and teaching. So when did comedy come into play?
I was very late. I mean, I was like 18 years into teaching and the pandemic. It was really the pandemic. I mean, I always loved comedy. I moved a lot as a kid, so I always cracked jokes. But my wife and I, our last date before the shutdown was at a comedy club, a local one. And so then the shutdown happened. We have two small kids. My mom was living with us, very stressed out. We're both teachers trying to figure it out. And we weren't laughing as much. So the club actually found a way to work outdoors. And so we had my mom living with us. So we had somebody in our bubble. So our date night was every Tuesday and was, hey, let's go down to Soul Joel's for the 3.5 hours and watch 40 guys get up for 4 minutes and tell us that they really just needed therapy. And so we just sat there and kind of in the sand, socially distanced with these heat lamps during, depending on the time of year, and watched. And after about like 3 or 4 months of watching these people go up, I looked at her. I'm like, I think I could do that. She kind of said, prove it. And then that was, the rest was history. So I spent Christmas break saying I need to stop working because I was working so hard helping my whole school because I was really good with technology. So they had me helping the Flintstones meet the Jetsons through this whole thing. And I was solving MacGyver problems, doing all this stuff. And I was just working too much. I didn't set proper boundaries for myself because I just wanted to help. And it was eating me alive. And so this was the only thing that helped me go to recess. It helped me not check my email, to not do. And so I started writing. I started reading about it. I started watching podcasts. I took a master class of Steve Martin's online, like did all the things. And I didn't realize, I just was happy to be feeling good. I was just happy to be doing something that wasn't that. And then I just didn't realize. I thought this was just like Sunday softball league. And it just started kind of spiraling. Opportunities kept coming, or teachers fell in my lap. And then I started doing the podcast for them. I'm still on tour with them now. If you told me 4 years ago I would ever have told a joke on stage, I'd have said, you're crazy. And now I can't imagine a night when I don't get on stage. And I'm so blessed to be able to release tension for other people. And it's the same thing. It's like, I wanted to pay forward the travel, so I took kids abroad. I want to make other people not feel like I felt and want to laugh. So I'm just trying to be the change I want to see in the world, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And so what subject do you teach, Jeff?
So I actually teach Spanish and Latin. Actually, one of the first trips we took as a family, so me and my mom went on a Caribbean cruise, kind of did a diamond around Cuba, left out of Florida, and there were 60 girls from Panama celebrating some rich girl's quinceañera, and she brought like 59 of her closest friends. And on that trip, I just started using my Spanish, broken to sophomore year Spanish. And just the whole world opened up to me. I was like, oh my goodness, I can now talk to 60 more people that I never would have been able to connect with, all because I can, you know, say a few words or paid attention in class. And like that in itself unlocked a whole other world of language. And so then I, you know, like I said, when I went to high school, I studied in Argentina. And then I sort of thought I was going to be a doctor. So I'm like, oh, let me take Latin, because like both my moms were nurses. So I'm like, oh, I'll be a doctor. Let me take Latin. And then I just said, you know what? I don't want to be a doctor, but I really love language. I really love solving these riddles. And I love communicating with people and seeing the world. So I was like, why not just go teach languages and go see the world? And so I've kind of been doing that for the last 20 years.
So when did you start incorporating the trips and travel planning into your curriculum? And is it one of the questions that I, on, you know, the 1600 comments on this video that kept was a common theme where people are like, well, what does this have to do with Spanish class? So can you answer that question? What does this have to do with Spanish class?
So important. Well, here's my problem. When I really learned Spanish, it was because I went and studied there for like 8 weeks with the family and then 6 months in college, and I was immersed. With the way public schools are set up in this country, we're just not doing it that way. I should be certified in three other subjects. I should be teaching them social studies in Spanish. I should be teaching them math. I mean, if we were serious about it, you would take other classes and have a portion of your day immersed in it. And it was breaking my heart that we weren't teaching it. We were microwaving it instead of like putting it through a kitchen. And so it was like saying you're an Italian cook, but you work at Olive Garden. And I just didn't like that feeling. You know what I mean? I hated that feeling. So I needed to combat that with something real. I mean, I grew up studying education. Like John Dewey is a name you always hear people drop. And this guy, you know, we're talking 1800s into 1900s was his sort of time frame. And he was talking about how teachers are just managers. We're just here to break down the walls of the classroom and show them the world and experiential learning and get them doing the things they'll be doing out there. And part of our standards, besides communicating within the language, is also culture and making connections and comparisons. And so culture was always something that sometimes got put on the back burner. When you look at curriculums and textbooks, they often just throw a little paragraph every couple pages that doesn't really dive into it. And I wanted something that was going to be real, that they could apply to their life, whether they spoke Spanish later on or not. And I just thought this was something we could do that was real. And it was something that they could appreciate what their parents would do for them when they plan a trip, or how real it could be, even if they came from a family like I did that didn't have a lot of money, that there were going to be opportunities. You could be frugal. And that's why I wanted to keep a lot of it open-ended, because I wanted them to discover those little intricacies that we don't think about when we plan a trip. Like I oftentimes would say to the kid, yeah, but how are you getting to the airport? Oh, his mom, are you paying her gas money? Like, are you treating her like an Uber? Like, or are you driving, and how much is the economy lot at Philadelphia? $15. Okay, how many days are you going for? Times that by 50. So, you know, I wanted them to think about all of the little things too, you know, and, oh, I'm going to rent a car versus public transportation when I get to my destination. Okay, great. So that means, is public transportation readily available? How much is a pass? Can you get a student discount? Or are you going to rent a car? Well, what about parking? How far are you traveling? Like, is there free parking when you go to the different restaurants? So I wanted them to really be like, oh, I thought I'd just go to the airport and pick a destination and hop on a plane. I wanted to wake them up, because a lot of these times it was seventh and eighth graders, you know, so these are really, it's like far away for them, but I wanted them to sort of be able to appreciate that. So I teach 7 through 12. So it was kind of interesting to see the ways a 7th and 8th grader would do it versus the way like a high schooler would do it.
So we're going to unpack some of these trips here in a little bit. But before we do that, what are some of the parameters for the person that's listening to this right now who didn't pause it to go watch the viral reel, right? What is it that you're exactly doing? And I think this is what captures so many people's attention is, well, the fact that, A, it's that you plan it, there's some parameters, and the fact that you've been on some of these trips. But what's the structure typically look like in these trips? Do you just say, hey, pick a place? How do you decide these budgets, the date that they have to go? How do they have to figure all these things out?
Yeah. So, well, the way our curriculum at the time was, it was like every unit was a different Spanish-speaking country. And so, you know, by the time you would go through so many units in the first 4 years, you'd have Spanish, you would hit all 21 major Spanish speaking countries. So I did a lot of it to just be ready to go whenever the time of year I had, like, you know, usually it was in the spring because we have a lot of testing, we have a lot of interruptions. And so it's like a really nice project to have because you can pick it up and put it down as you need it. I can still drive the instruction when I have them together, but hey, green team's got a field trip today, red team's doing this. I have all of them mixed together. So I needed something that could like plug and play and just kind of be there in the time of year when it's really erratic. So it was really designed to be ready to be any country and hopefully to run a couple times a year potentially. So I really had it designed to be, well, whatever country and unit we were in, that was the one, but that was it. After that, the only thing I gave them parameter-wise was when they could go, because I wanted it to be, well, you're in school, you can't miss school. So, you know, we got to go June 15th. The earliest you can go is June 15th. You got to be back before August 26th and just kind of say that's sort of, you know, your parameters, here's your budget. And sort of the pitch was, you're going to present to the class your trip. You want to have the coolest trip. At the end, we'll vote on it and we'll say, hey, who's got the trip that they're like, I want to go on that trip. That's how I want to spend my money. And so you got to see, depending if they were in groups of four, maybe I have 30 kids in the class. At most, I'd have five groups. So you'd get to see five different pitches at the end of this. And they would have to take you through their days, like from like the very first day waking up and how they're getting to the airport to the last day. And aside from those travel days, the only parameters I really put in there was that every day they had to do something cultural and they had to eat somewhere cultural. After that, if you, you know, if you want to go eat at McDonald's for lunch every day and eat at the breakfast at the hotel, that's free. Great. But then dinner, you better be going to somewhere. And that's when I got to introduce them to sites like, oh, let's look at TripAdvisor. Let's look at some of these sites where you can really see what other people have said, see the photos, see the menu, go to the website, you know, and really introduce them to a lot of these tools. Kayak, let's look up all the flights and the plans, and I'd make them do it because then they have to screenshot the enterprise thing with all the rentals and the taxes and fees and the United Airlines. And, oh, was your bag included? Did you go that far? Did you actually see if you get a carry-on? Or because now we know that travel's different. It's not like that. It's a huge fly Frontier or Spirit. I don't even think you're allowed to wear clothes on those flights. It's like, you know, so we got to have like all of these things thought about and all of that money. Then, hey, what if you get injured on there? You got to save some of your money in case you got to go to urgent care and you need to, you know, I mean, I had a kid. I've had plenty of kids get sick on trips, on some of these school trips. I've had all sorts of weird things happen on these school trips. And my best story, I had a kid, the time I took 36 kids, we get them all through, the flight got delayed, there was air traffic controller strikes in France, we got diverted in England, all 36 of us all day. The company that was meeting us didn't get the memo, even though I called them and did everything I was supposed to do. We get there, miss dinner, miss everything, get everybody through. 35 of us had our luggage. One kid didn't get his luggage through the whole rigmarole. That's a miracle. There's like 42 people with chaperones, this one kid. So we have to wait for him to report it. We finally get to the hotel. I give everybody their keys. I'm like, get out of my face. I need to decompress. And this kid shows back up in front of me. And I'm like, Chris, what's up? He's like, yeah, I can't find my wallet or my passport. So somehow in the reporting of it, he left his wallet and his pass. So now this kid literally has a cinch bag with Oakley sunglasses in it. And that's all he has for a 14-day trip in three countries. And you could just see this look on his face. And thankfully, you know, we did what we had to do. We called his parents. We did the embassy. We did all of this. And he ended up writing about it 3 years later on his on his essay to go into college about how much that experience shaped. So like when I saw stuff like that happening, I was like, okay, I have to bring that to every kid I teach without feeling like I have to take them to another country. And so I think a lot of the trips I was taking early on kind of had led me to say, well, let me have every kid at least see it could be possible, even if they don't go on one of these trips with me every 2 years. And I think so that was sort of the big deal. So the country's picked. To recap, the country is sort of set by where we are. They have the parameters of the dates based on when school's in session. They have the budget, and then they have to do a cultural activity. It doesn't have to be, it can be free. I mean, if I tell them, like, you go to the Prado in Madrid on Wednesday after 5 o'clock, it's free. If you have a student discount, it's so they don't have to spend money. So, like, cultural thing, and then they have to eat culturally every day.
What's the typical budget that you have them do?
I'd rotated between, I think at first I'd given them too much money. I'd give them like $2,500, I think, to start up front. And then I think I've cut it down to $2,000 after that, because some of them were like trying to some of them were trying to camp on the beach and then like have like a Lamborghini as their rental car. You know what I'm saying? Like it was getting like out of hand. But then I started making incentives for how much money they came home with so that they could plan for their next trip. And so I started kind of building in some of those as I saw, because, you know, kids are going to, Bart Simpson's going to be Bart Simpson. You know, he's going to find the loophole, but you also have Lisa in that class. So, you know, you find Lisa in that class, she's doing it right. You tether to her and then you kind of make sure Bart still can be him. You got to let Bart be Bart. He's got to ride a skateboard as long as he stays within the parameters. I let him, you know, get a Lamborghini, whatever, dude. You know, I let them have that fun a little bit because in reality, we can. Like, you can do that. You can. There are people renting those kind of things because people do that. So, you know, I try to not come down on that. I try to really make it, because really, it's a group project. In middle school, that's a tough age. And to work together, and you might not even know the kid as well. And even that week, you might be friends. And the next week, you might not be friends. So sometimes it's managing all of those emotions. So it's kind of nice for them to have something fun, rather than this be some like book report or like, so it steps out of the language for a little bit. But when they're navigating those sites, if they're older kids, I ask them to keep the site in Spanish. You know, you can work some things in. When I'm speaking to them, I'm giving them back feedback in Spanish. So they're still getting all of the things within an immersive classroom as best you can. But, you know, like I said, I might have 7th and 8th graders in Spanish 1. So we're not speaking more than 60, 70% of the time in the target language. I mean, our goal is to be 90 to 95% in the target language when possible. But, you know, you find ways to give them that release valve a little bit.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
So, Jay, that's super cool. I know that we got a lot of requests that said send the list. Have them send the list and unpack all these trips and details. And I know you've been doing this for many, many years. There's probably a lot of different trips, probably some that were great, some that were probably not as great. And I want to make sure we don't forget about the fact that you talked about some budget travel as well. So I want to talk through what are some of the creative things that the kids found that can be useful when it comes to traveling on a budget, because we have had other guests on the show that have talked through budget travel, have talked about being in the points and miles space. I know we were talking a little bit off air. Your wife is more in the points and miles space. You're getting into it yourself. You're getting more accustomed to it. Has been listening to this podcast as well. So let's just start. When it comes to these trips, what have been some of the destinations, the locations, some of the trips that the students have chosen? And of course, I got to know, which ones did you go on yourself?
Yeah, so as a matter of fact, the one that was my favorite and the one that my wife and I have gone on a couple times, as a matter of fact, was Mexico, and specifically the Riviera Maya and down into Tulum, which is probably about a 45-minute ride south of the Cancun airport. Beautiful Mayan ruins there, a lot of culture to do, and then you also have a lot of like adventure stuff, the cenotes, the, you know, diving into the pools and just, you know, beautiful beaches, but a good amount of history surrounded with it, because my wife's a big history buff. So we like to have a mix of pleasure and that. And so that's sort of why I set those parameters in there, because I know when I'm planning a trip, you know, you could get caught up in the amenities of the room or like being in a resort and not leaving a resort. But the excursions and the getting out there, that stuff that my mom's instilled in me when we would go on those cruises. You know, we did something called snuba diving where you had to get certified to scuba dive, but you could like have this like 80-foot cord and go down. So I tried to model it after just sort of the things that I know I want to force myself to do when I'm out and about, because it's so easy to get comfortable. And there's so many American restaurants, there's so many. And when I watch these kids go on these trips, so I want to kind of provide a space for them to do that. And then when it comes to like the budget stuff, like we talk a lot about stuff like when you're staying at a place. Are you going to stay at a hostel? Like, are you going to stay at somewhere that has breakfast included, has free parking? So really using TripAdvisor to kind of look into the amenities of a place and then remind yourself that you can split it with a number. If it's four of you going on this trip, you can split that room. So you're dividing, every person is getting that budget. So now there are certain things we can split, the rental car, the gas. And so keeping in mind that if you're willing to not have your own private room and you don't mind sharing a bed with someone or having a cot brought in or rotating who sleeps on the cot, then, you know, now with Airbnb, you have a whole other, I think when I started doing these projects years ago, some of those things weren't even around yet. So I would love to incorporate as I'm thinking about this year and doing the project, because some years I teach Latin and I don't do the project. So I've taught Latin for the last couple of years. So now I'm teaching all Spanish this year. And so now I'm thinking like, ooh, is there a way for me to incorporate stuff like miles and stuff like that? Or, you know, or for them to consider, oh, well, I'm going to sign up for this credit card. And if I sign up for this credit card, then I get, you know, so many things back. Maybe that's something for my upper level kids that I can have them start to think about, you know, because I see the effects of it. I mean, I'm booking stuff for comedy. And sometimes when I have to book the trips and I'm not on tour with board teachers, I'm using all of my Hilton miles to stay at this hotel. And, you know, or I always try to fly American because that's the one I have the most miles with. So I'm trying to be cognizant of those things. So I want to bring that to the project now because I always want to bring my own experience in to that. So, you know, whether they stay at a hostel, whether they stay at a all-inclusive, like, those are some of the things. And then, you know, we try to find third party sites that help you see it or what day of the week you leave on. Historically, Tuesdays sometimes are really good dates to leave on sometimes. But the calendar now will show you, like, do the range, say you're flexible. And so we can talk about some of those things if they don't have a day that they care to fly out on. You know, do the research. Just don't pick a date and get accustomed to that. Or are you willing to do a layover? Are you willing to do a layover? Or do you have to have it nonstop? Like, I think about these things now because I'm a parent. And my oldest is autistic. So when we travel, I was nervous because my dad lives in Spain. So my dad, who I hadn't connected with for a while, we've been connected the last 10, 12 years or so. He's married in Spain. So we wanted to bring the girls out to see their grandfather. And so when I think about stuff with traveling with my daughter, you know, then we have to kind of do extra stuff to plan for that. You know, what's she going to be like on a long flight? We didn't know, you know, letting the airlines know places you know, have a lot of great things like Disney, as you guys were talking about on your last episode. When we go to Disney, we make sure we fill out the disability pass for her, and she gets the DAS pass, which is a lifesaver. We wouldn't have been able to travel. So, you know, having to take into considerations things like that can be important too. And can, so, but I tell the kids, if you're willing to do a layover, you might get a cheaper flight. If you're willing to fly out of Newark, because we're outside of Philadelphia, Philly historically is really expensive. But if you're willing to go down to Baltimore, or you're willing to go to Newark or JFK, you could probably get a cheaper flight. But now you got to figure out how you're going to get there. Who's going to drive you? So those are some of those conversations that I get to have with the kids, which is, it's fun. It's kind of interesting to see the light bulbs go off in their head that it's not just magic and mom and dad make it look so easy. But there is a lot of thoughtfulness that has to go into some of these minor decisions. So do you want to go through, do you want to take you through one of them, essentially?
So yeah, absolutely. Why don't you take us through one of the trips that you have planned as an example and see. I'm super excited to see this. And I think the listeners and those that are going to watch this are going to be interested to see as well.
All right, great. So I'm going to share my screen here. So this was one project where they were traveling to Mexico. And so a lot of the first things they start doing is deciding sort of the flight and the rental car. Those are sort of like some of the first two decisions is, well, how am I getting there? And once I'm there, how am I getting around? That's sort of like the first spot. Because once those prices are locked in, those are like those and then your lodging are like your big ticket item. So you really can't know what you can do until you know how far you can travel within that country and how much it's going to cost you to get there. And I think some of those prices were what the airfare prices at the times were, I think, what were making me change the budget a little bit. Because like even this, they had a trip from Philadelphia to Cabo, and it was like $1,000 just for traveling. So now they're each, boom, half their budget's gone out the gates. Woof. You know, so, and then you're like, okay, well, we're going to rent a car, you know, it's going to cost $334, but at least we can divide that price by four. And so they're having some of those discussions. And then they're like, oh, okay, our hotel is $114 a night, but it's got free breakfast, it's got free parking, it's got free Wi-Fi. You know, I make them show me that they selected the dates, because sometimes they were just going in and picking whatever. Because I know when you go on Google, it shows you the lowest sometimes. But then when you actually set the dates in, all of a sudden. And so they did a really good job of sort of showing that, okay, this is when they're going. It's 114 a night. And they have to keep kind of tallying that as they go through. And then, okay, now they're in Los Cabos. They're going to browse the market. They're going to go on a bottom cruise boat. They're going to do a guided walk of San Jose. And then they actually found a place that had free Mexican chocolate and tequila tastings.
Nice.
And so then they're like, well, the cost of that tour was $196, no additional tax or fees. And then I make them get some of those photos and kind of put those up so we can kind of see, you know, what that was. So, and then, okay, now they had to do day one food. Okay, well, breakfast was included with the hotel. They said they were skipping lunch because they were going to have chocolate on the tour. But like in some of that, like when I took the kids on the trip to abroad, some of them would just have gelato for lunch because lunch and dinner were included. So they were like, pack, which is what I do when I'm traveling. When I travel for the teacher tour, like right lunch, I try to like go to, we're at a hotel with breakfast. And then if I have any dinner left over from the club the night before, I save it for lunch the next day. So we're talking about how to do some of those things to kind of make that last. And then they went to dinner. They went to a specific restaurant. They even linked it in so that we could kind of go to the site. That's the nice thing about them working in like Google site is they can incorporate all the links in there. And then they had to tell me what each of them ordered off the menu so they know that they actually went to the thing, priced out what it was, and then added that in with gratuity. And so it was just a lot of those kind of things. And the next day they found a church that they could go to. They had to give me a little bit of info on it. It was free to tour. That was their cultural event for that day. So it's a lot of some of those pieces, but it's cool for them to see some of the restaurants. And then for me to be like, oh, that looked like a good restaurant. Maybe I'll Google Maps that when I'm in the area and trying to teach them some of those pieces. I have another trip here where we went to New York. Some of them, we talk about the United States. So some of them talked about going to New York City and found specific areas within New York City that had some of those kind of pieces in it. There was another trip to Puerto Rico where they talked about the hotel, they actually did a resort. So it was going to be more all-inclusive. So breakfast and lunch was included, but somebody put a note here where they had to they could only pick breakfast or lunch being included. But it's just interesting to see sort of the map. And then they actually had to go into Google Map and track where they were going. And what was cool is, I don't know if it's still there, but there was this thing through Night Labs, which was, I think, a project in some university started it. But they were able to actually map all of the pieces out and take us through getting to the airport, getting there, and then really getting to see on a world view how much ground they had really covered, which I don't think a lot of them really understood. You know, I think the world's so big and we don't really kind of get that sometimes about just how far we're traveling. So this was a cool thing that instead of just doing a PowerPoint, I had some of them some years use this Night Lab tool because it allowed them to kind of really show the class just how much ground they were covering when they were in the country and how much ground they were covering to get to the countries or the cities they were in. And so that part was kind of really interesting. And then some of them were really good about mapping out all their costs. Some you could see didn't quite know yet how to budget. And I think that's how we all are. You know, some of us are really good with spreadsheets, and it was cool to see which kids sort of knew how to kind of keep tabs and how to help the others rein it in. And so that group aspect of it, they kind of became a family. You know, and when I do these trips with the kids, that's what happens. You become a family. And so it was cool to create that environment within the walls of the classroom, while clearly we were getting them to break down the walls and try to think about where they could go and what kind of things they could be doing. And so things like TripAdvisor were so important for us to be able to get to so that they could actually see and hear from other people and read the review. Sometimes they would put the review up there to show us why they, you know, why they chose that one, because this person had a great time because of X, Y, and Z. And I really enjoyed seeing how much they got into it. Because a lot of times with teaching and education, we give kids things to do and it's very transactional. But this was an opportunity for some of them to shine. Some of the kids who maybe were behavioral problems or whatever, I think sometimes those kids just don't get an opportunity to show where their intelligence lies. And this is the kind of project where people get to see sides of you they wouldn't have normally seen because it's not a typical worksheet.
Right.
So I think when you give space, there's some really cool things that kids will show you just how mature they really are and just how well some of them are at planning, at keeping everybody on task. And I think that was some of the other stuff of the project. I mean, the project's doing so much. It's doing so much. I mean, it's got the fiscal component. You got, you know, the family component of keeping everybody together. You got the organizational side and crunching the numbers and doing all the research and keeping track of what sites you went to. And there's just so much embedded in it that it's just like, I'm impressed with myself sometimes when I'm like, wow, this is so cool. And it took a lot of years, like anything. It takes years to polish and find what's right and find how much information you have to give them. And sometimes you get block sites. I mean, sometimes depending on the school, you might have people comment and say, hey, I couldn't do this because my school blocked anything that has to do with purchasing. And so we found ways around that. Kids would use their own data on their cell phone and they would do the research on their cell phone on their data to kind of make up for the fact that we couldn't get something, you know, on the school one. But for the most part, you know, we haven't run into a lot of those issues. And then now my wife and I get to say, hey, do we want to take kids on a trip like this or do we want to go? We took our family last Thanksgiving and we went to Cancun. Took both our daughters who are 8 and 10. And, you know, we were able to kind of look at some of these areas and some of these places that they had gone. I sort of knew what kind of pricing to expect on the airfare at that time of year because that's when the trips always run. So I kind of have inside info on where to go. And they're sort of doing this background knowledge of, hey, what airport was the best airport? What was the best air flight? So now I have a little bit of an idea in my head instead of wondering if this is the best price or if it'll be better, you know, kind of help me stay sharp and be able to kind of do, because, you know, on a budget with two teachers, I mean, we only have so much money. Luckily, with comedy and things of those, I'm able to provide opportunities for that. Actually, the board teachers tour, we're going to the Riviera Maya. We're doing a Saved by the Beach tour where teachers can come for 3 days and we're going to do comedy shows and live podcasts. And so I think it's going to be cool for me to kind of get back down there again and kind of look at some of these places that the kids have taken me to on these projects.
Awesome, Jay. Well, I think that's super cool. I mean, you obviously put a lot of thought into helping keeping them engaged, but also what you're doing, and this is something that a lot of the comments said that I really love, because there are a lot of people that were very supportive. Of course, it wasn't everything, like there was a sarcasm and everything else, but there are a lot of people that are supportive because you're showing them real life skills, right? You're showing them things that can are actually applicable to their day-to-day world, and them being a little bit analytical and understanding how to plan a trip in its simplest form can transpose or can give them the trajectory to be able to maybe plan a trip that might be more complicated, even if you do start incorporating things like you said, using miles, getting a sign-up bonus on the credit card. Those are things that as adults hinder people from having even more luxurious or fancy trips or whatever it may be, because it's more complex to do it that way, right? But sometimes spending a little bit more time yourself can create an even better experience for yourself and for your family. And let's face it, we all can think through things in school that we probably rarely actually had much real world value. Now, I know the Pythagorean theorem actually has some real world value, but how many people actually remember when that takes place and use the Pythagorean theorem in everyday life, right? But being able to figure out, you know, a TripAdvisor, look up a hotel, look up a resort, look up an excursion, that's something that someone's or a child is going to know how to do. And it was interesting. There was a lot of comments that actually said, I'm a XYZ year old adult. I have no idea how to plan a trip myself, right? And so it's something that we can't take for granted. And I know it'd be easy to be like, oh man, that's super easy. That's a super easy task. But for not everyone, do they actually know the process of thinking through things? And yes, they might figure out, oh, I can book a trip to here. But yes, how do you get to the airport? Your baggage costs, all these different things are important. So I think what you're doing is absolutely incredible, Jay, and just solid job for that. I think it's a really unique and a really cool. That's why I will repeat this, as you asked in the beginning. I do think, you know, it's a genius idea that you've put together.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Like I said, I thought it was cool. I knew it came off in the clip, like, oh, he's having these kids plan his vacation. And it was like, you know, and in essence, it's true, because I've gone on a lot of these places. We've gone to these cities and gone to some of these restaurants, and we've stood outside the pyramid, the Tulum ruins there. So, like, I have photos of me and my wife there that I've then brought back and shown the kids. And so it's like, you know, getting to do that vicariously for them, but also letting them see that, you know, that this stuff is real and it can happen and you can do it. And that, to me, is all about education's about. So it's just a really fun project that's just so embedded into the kind of things we want our students, our kids to be able to do. We want them to grow up to be adults who get to see how other people live, like the culture and there's a big world out there with a lot of people. And I want to make sure everybody sees that. Because even where I teach now is very much kind of like this, you know, area that's a suburb outside of Philly. But, you know, again, it's a lot of people, a lot of farms, a lot of, you know, a rural sort of environment where, you know, you could see that maybe some of them wouldn't have thought that to be a possibility, you know. So it's, for me, it's a blast to just make that a possibility or even plant that seed.
Well, Jay, perfect. I love that question. As we start to wrap up here, any upcoming trips that you have for you and your wife on your radar that has been planned either through some of your past students or that you just want to take a bucket list destination that you're really seeking to get out to go see country, to explore something along those lines?
I mean, I really have a dying need to go to Australia. I really, you know, it was a trip that we had always planned. And unfortunately, Colleen's no longer with us. She passed away a few years ago. And so it was a trip we never took. So I think that's going to be a special trip for me one day to make it to Sydney, to even go out to Alice Springs where she was from. And so that's a trip that's sort of on my bucket list that I'm dying to take as well. And I also really like cruises, just because I feel like you get the opportunity to see a bunch of, you know, if you plan the right one, you get more bang for your buck in terms of getting to see a couple different destinations within that. My wife's never been on one, so I got to work her into that, because that's my hope for comedy too, is I hope to catch on with a cruise line and eventually, you know, as a retirement plan down the line, I would love to be. I have a lot of comics I work with that do cruise ships, and they get to go on these excursions during the day, and then they get to go tell jokes on a ship at night. And I'm like, oh, like, that's a way I can now travel. I mean, that's why I started taking kids, my wife and I do these trips, because it was a way for her and I to continue to see the world. And every six kids that we go, the chaperone goes for free because of all the added stress of managing that. but we still get to see, you know, we get to go through the ruins of Pompeii together. So my wife and I will probably plan a trip for the kids in the next 2 years to, you know, I'll take some kids, but take our, maybe bring ours with us this time. You know, I want my daughters now to see the world. They've gotten to go to Mexico. They've been to Spain. I mean, I didn't leave the country until I was 15. They've left before they were age 9. So, you know, I'm hopeful that I can now pass that on to my own children and continue to do this project with my school children too.
Awesome, Jay. I think that's absolutely incredible. Where can the listeners follow you?
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Jay Yoder Comedy. Instagram's probably my most prolific, but I'm on Jay Yoder Comedy on TikTok, Facebook, jyodercomedy.com. I travel all over. I'm a lot of based out of Pennsylvania, so I do a lot of shows in Pennsylvania, New York, and Delaware. So if you're in that area, I'd love to have you at a show. And I can't thank you enough, DeAndre, for having me on just to talk about all this cool stuff I get to do every day.
No, absolutely. I'm glad that you've been able to come on the show. And I'm a huge fan of live comedy, absolutely huge fan. And right by where I live and by my office in the financial planning space is the Funny Bone, which is a well-known place down here in Virginia Beach. So if you're ever here in Virginia Beach area.
Oh, I've played that Funny Bone in Virginia Beach a couple summers ago. It's a good place.
Very cool. Next time you're down here, you gotta feel free to reach out. We'd love to come see you at a show.
I will let you know.
Awesome. Jay, before we wrap this one up, any final thoughts that you have for us, for the listeners at all before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage you, if you're a parent out there and you have kids, like let them be part of this process. You know, let them see what goes into this so it's not a Wizard of Oz scenario. You know, so you're empowering your own children to think about the value of a dollar and the things that they want. So yeah, I'd encourage, you know, maybe let them pick a day that they get to plan and they get to do and give them some of the little parameters and start showing them how they can kind of have a say in that, giving ownership to your own kids. I mean, that would be something that I would love to see parents do. And I'm going to try to do that myself now too. So yeah, just, you know, get kids involved and you'd be surprised how mature they can be.
That's awesome. Jay, thank you so much. You know, the title of this podcast is Revolutionizing Your Journey, and it's all about travel and those that do travel differently. Now, a lot of times it is those that travel in luxury with points and miles, but also we've had individuals that they do the family travel, they do the budget travel. They've brought their 4-year-old twin daughters to Everest Base Camp. They do travel differently. And I think what you have done is you have created the opportunity for kids to revolutionize their own journeys and revolutionize their own travels by showing them how they can make it a life of travel, or even at least incorporating travel in their lives in a way that, like you said, may not have ever crossed their mind and have opened their eyes to the much larger world out there. So I think you're doing an incredible job. I think you have revolutionized your own journey when it comes to being able to take these, finding out this nice travel hack of how you can go on these trips yourself, whether it's because they've planned it or because you're chaperoning 30-something kids. But you're not only revolutionizing yourself, your own journeys, but again, you are a revolutionizer for the kids. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
And I'm getting them ready for you, because if they've gone through mine, then they're going to be ready by the time they're adults to digest all of that points. And that'll be their next, that'll be their graduate studies. We'll be getting ready for the points and miles. So I'll keep doing my part. You keep doing your part and we'll get people to go see the world.
That sounds great, Jay. Huge thank you for you joining us today. For the listeners out there, as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Give us a rating, send us some feedback, tell your friends, and as always, we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.